Greetings to all who listen to the tapes. We're now at the end of July, and I thought it would be good for us today to consider the truth recorded in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 through 9. That's 1 Peter 1, 1 through 9. If you have your Bible, get it out and be prepared to follow as we study the passage. Now let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this passage of Scripture, which is very encouraging to us. We pray as we study it that you will speak to each of our hearts, encourage us in our faith to persevere through trial and tribulation, and to have the joy of the Lord in our hearts as we have the hope of your truth burning within us. Bless this passage to us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, let's read the text. Would you follow as I read 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the pilgrims of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, in sanctification of the Spirit, for obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Now in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, you love. Though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Now the purpose of the book of 1 Peter is to encourage these people who are scattered throughout Asia Minor because of persecution. And Peter is writing to encourage them. And this passage is a great encouragement, not only to them, to all of us. We all need encouragement. And this passage reveals what God has done for us. Nothing about what we do for him. It's about his commitment to us, not our commitment to him. We live a much better life when we live off the strength of his commitment rather than thinking about our own. Now, I titled this passage, All the Way to Heaven. God starts our salvation, keeps our salvation, completes our salvation, and takes us all the way. Now, the first point I want to consider is the fact that Christians are born for heaven. In verse 3, he has begotten us again. That means the new birth. Our first birth is inadequate to take us to heaven because our first birth is associated with our sin nature received through Adam. So we need a second birth, not a natural birth, but a spiritual birth. We must be begotten again. We must be born again, born of the Spirit, a spiritual birth which can give us spiritual life. So this is based on election. Notice verse 2. Peter writes, these people are elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, which is the same as his predestination. God knows what he will determine, and he carries it out in predestination. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God, that is, chosen by God to be born again. Loved by God to be born again. Now, the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are involved in this transaction which gives us new birth. The Father has chosen certain out of the human race to be born again. He chose before creation. The Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, provided salvation by his sacrifice for sin. It is his provision. Now the Holy Spirit applies that sacrifice to our life through regeneration, through this new birth that he brings to us at the predestined moment in our life. He has been working by his grace, brings conviction of sin, brings a faith to us that causes us to believe and to trust in the death and resurrection of Christ for the forgiveness of sin and the gift of eternal life. So that's how we begin our trip to heaven, on our journey all the way to heaven. Now, this passage also speaks of our hope. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope. Now, biblical hope is not a wish. Biblical hope is a certainty. It's a matter of assurance. We could read, he has begotten us again to a living assurance. A living certainty that is great encouragement to us. A living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Our assurance is not based on anything we do or do not do. Our assurance is based on the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. We live with a living assurance, that hope, to an inheritance that's heaven, that is eternal life. Our inheritance is eternal life. Our inheritance is heaven. And here is how Peter describes it. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled. It is incorruptible because there is no sin. It is undefiled because there is no sin. Sin cannot enter heaven. It will no longer be allowed. So the inheritance is pure and clean and everlasting, incorruptible and undefiled. Christians are born for heaven. We begin our journey by this new birth. We live in a living hope secured by the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ to this inheritance, incorruptible and undefiled. Now, the second point from this passage is the fact that Christians are kept for heaven. Verse 5. Well, let's read verse 4. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. Christians are kept for heaven, reserved for heaven by God's power. Now, I suppose it's true that at some point every Christian has some thoughts about making it all the way, because our life can be not full of weakness and failure, but failure and weakness does enter in. And at times we question our faith. And so we need this kind of truth. Rather than rely on our feelings or our own logic or thinking, to know that we are being kept, reserved by the power of God, not our works, not our performance. It's not ours at all. It's by His omnipotent divine power, overruling every obstacle, overruling everything. We are guarded. We are protected. Our faith is protected. We are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed at the last time. Here is a great thing. We are reserved for heaven, and heaven is reserved for us. And God will bring these two together. He will bring us to heaven, and He will keep heaven for us. The divine reservation that is encouraging to us. Now, we're not only born for heaven and kept for heaven. Christians are being prepared for heaven. What is this Christian life about? Well, it's a training period. We are in training for heaven. Verse 6. In this you greatly rejoice, that is, that living hope, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. We are in training. And what is the issue? What is really the issue about being a Christian? It is not about our works. It is not about our service. It's not about how good we are. It's about our faith. And faith must be tested. And God teaches us through trials. And our trials are varied. We don't all have the same experiences of difficulty, trials, and temptation. The trials of life are suited to us individually and personally, just right for each believer. And so these are personally coming from our Heavenly Father for the purpose of training us and the testing of our faith. To prove what? Not to prove the failure, but to prove the genuineness and the reality of our faith. Another thing we need to learn about trials is that they are controlled. For a little while, they're here. The trials are controlled by God's timing, by God's event, and how that testing goes on. As gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, that our faith may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So, as we think of ourselves bound for heaven, how do we get there? God gets us started through new birth. Secondly, God keeps us for heaven while we're here on earth. Thirdly, God prepares us for heaven by the refining of our faith. Now, this passage teaches us a fourth thing, that Christians can enjoy life now, even though we have trials and tragedies and catastrophes and temptations and difficulties. Living by faith, we learn from verse 8 that though we have never seen the Lord, yet we love him. Though now you do not see him, yet believing you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory because of this great hope for us, that God is taking us all away. So we love him now. We love him this morning. We trust in Christ. We count on him. And this faith that he has given us is very precious to him, because it's very costly. And our rejoicing is not in ourselves, not in our great performance, not in our service, but it is in Christ, full of glory, beyond our words to describe. Yet believing you rejoice with joy inexpressible, beyond words. We rejoice. And verse 9 says, we receive we are receiving from Christ. That's a wonderful thing about the Christian life. It's a description of who is a Christian. A Christian is a person who is receiving from the Lord, receiving grace, receiving mercy, receiving power and enablement. That is the Christian. That's why we can say this passage teaches us all the way to heaven. Started by the Lord, kept by the Lord, completed by the Lord, reserved for us and us reserved for our eternal inheritance. Be encouraged this day through this message in 1 Peter and live for the Lord off the strength of his love and performance for us. And then we have opportunity to tell of this great salvation and to live before others by faith in these times of trial and difficulty as they watch our life to see if what we are saying is real and true. Do we really trust him? Is our faith genuine and sincere? This passage helps us, strengthens us for the life here on earth on our way to heaven. It's all the way to heaven. Praise the Lord. Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this truth. Thank you that you have given us the faith to believe it, and we rely on the empowerment of the Holy Spirit at this moment to believe, no matter what situation we are in this morning, whether it is poor health, difficulties financially, relational conflicts. O Lord, thank you that through these, our faith being tested, we will come out as gold and faith will be seen as precious. Strengthen our faith as we go all the way to heaven with you. In Jesus' name, amen.